The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McRae. You're going to enjoy this podcast. Walter Kinsey has a hand in planning a lot of events around the world. From presidential balls to developing concert ideas with his friend Garth Brooks, Walter has quite a story. He grew up on a farm in Kansas. Today runs a multinational company from on top of a hill on a South Dakota ranch. You'll be entertained by this farm kid that is still helping rural America and much more. It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by Pivot BioProven. It's time to rethink nitrogen. Pivot BioProven replaces nitrogen fertilizer with microbes that adhere to the crop's root system and apply nitrogen each day. 2019 performance report data shows Pivot BioProven consistently outperforms synthetic nitrogen fertilizer year over year, providing corn growers improved yields and a more dependable nitrogen supply that isn't lost to the environment. To read the performance report, go to pivotbio.com. For more information on Pivot BioProven, text PROVEN to 31313. Walter Kinsey doesn't need to take my call, but he does, and I appreciate it. I've known Walter for about 20 years, but we don't see as much of one another as we once did. He's a guy who has built a huge entertainment company from scratch, but he's not forgotten his rural roots. In fact, he embraces them. You'll enjoy the story of how Encore Live began and grew, and how he would wind up running a company of nearly 3,000 employees from his car parked on top of a hill on a South Dakota ranch. Here's the amazing story of Walter and Encore Live. Walter Kinsey joins me. Walter is the founder and CEO of Encore Live, and Walter does all kinds of things, as you're about to hear. In fact, Walter just did a series of concerts with Garth Brooks. Walter, I feel privileged to actually get you on the phone because you've got so much going on. Let's jump right into Garth Brooks. Tell me what happened with all these concerts.
Well, I appreciate it, Andrew. The honor is all mine. It's great to be talking with you, and you've been a great friend for a very long time, so I appreciate all of this. But, yeah, when COVID hit, I'm in the live event business. We do conferences, we do conventions, we do concerts, and we work all over the world. And so, luckily we've had our health, but we were kind of the first business catastrophe for COVID to hit in effect. We lost a substantial amount of business right out of the gate, but it's our business to bring people together. And we truly believe that as human beings, it's in our nature to want to be together. We feed off of each other. And so for us, this provided an excellent opportunity for us to just step back in time and just think about what we can be doing, not knowing how long we're going to be in this position. And so the idea came up in late April, early May, that we should start doing concerts from drive-in movie theaters. As we started looking at the model, we realized two things really quickly. Number one, the size of the crowd, we weren't going to be able to bring that many people together. And number two, it's going to be very expensive to produce something, and there wasn't really a path to profitability by working one theater at a time. Now, I remember in that moment thinking about my childhood growing up in rural America, rural Kansas, and how we would go to a drive-in theater, and I thought, I wonder how many of those things are still open. Our initial thought was this would be 20 or 30. Much to our surprise, the number's closer to 340 across the United States and Canada. And so we started reaching out to these folks and seeing if they had an appetite for music. And as soon as we realized that we had a lot of these theaters that would be interested in doing something, I called my friend Garth Brooks and I said, I need 30 minutes to explain the concept to you, poke holes in it, tell me I'm crazy, and then let's see where we go from here. And at the end of it, he asked me a few questions and we went through the process and he finally decided, you know what, I want to do this and I want to be your first one. And so this past weekend, 379 locations across the United States and all of Canada, we broadcast the Garth Brooks concert, and it was spectacular. And he created something especially for this time, especially for this fan base. and especially for the way they were going to consume it, by video, back in the back of their pickup truck, sitting in lawn chairs, watching it on the big screen. So it was a fabulous experience.
Let's go back to something you said in the middle of that answer. You said, I got on the phone with my friend Garth Brooks. So how's the kid from rural Kansas, I guess, just to have Garth's, you know, cell number to call him up and say, hey, I got an idea?
Well, so Garth and I met each other in 2013, and it was kind of just an interesting time. We became friends really quick, but he's a very easy guy to get to know and like, and so we became friends, and anytime he's got a weird idea of something that he'd like to test out in the marketplace, a lot of times he'll call me. And if I've got something that I was thinking about doing, I'll call him to either just pick his brain as a professional in the entertainment business, or to pick his brain as an artist that creates music and brings people together. And so I would say we've been a good resource for each other, but he's been a much greater influence and resource to me. And we've worked together off and on since 2013. But our friendship is I think what's most important to both of us. And we work really hard to make sure that business never gets in the way of us being able to just continue down the road and be friends.
Talk about how this all began, because, you know, how does a person begin to build a business like this, in which you book all kinds of entertainers all over the world, right?
That's right. So growing up in it's a very rural America story, and it relates directly to how I was raised. And so I grew up on a farm in southeast Kansas, a little town called Edna. We were very active in 4-H and FFA when I was 7 years old in Oswego, Kansas, at the LeBec County Fairgrounds. One July night, my dad was in charge of entertainment for the county fair. And I watched that day as this big stage got set up and this big bus backed up to it, and an entertainer walked out and she performed for a whole bunch of people. And I told my dad when I was 7 years old in that rodeo arena, I told my dad, this is what I want to do for a living. You fast forward 18 years old. So 11 years later, two big things happened to me. Number one, I become very sick. And I that ultimately led to a 3-year medical journey that ended in a kidney transplant. But then the other thing that happened when I was 18 was I met a young man who's also sick, and we kept bumping into each other at the hospital. His condition was terminal; mine wasn't. And we were both came from humble beginnings, but his condition was way more dire, and he had some simple things he wanted to do in life before he died. He was a 16-year-old kid. He wanted to graduate high school. He wanted to go to a senior prom, and he wanted to be able to know what it was like to go to college. And so at 18, I started a foundation that was something I could do for my hospital room. And I set out to raise money for him, and I had not given up that dream that I was going to put on concerts for a living. And so at the time, I called. There was a municipal auditorium in Parsons, Kansas, another one in Salina, Kansas. So I called up there and I just asked questions to the people that booked the entertainment there and tried to understand the jargon and what things that I should I say or not say when I'm trying to book a band. And ultimately I put together a concert for Corey, and with the help of a lot of great people in my community, and we raised a bunch of money for him that night. And he got to do the three things he set out to do before the condition ultimately took his life. And so although it was a great amount of joy to help him out, and it was under some pretty tragic circumstances, it also affirmed for me that dream I set out to when I was seven was real, and I was going to try to make it happen. And so I had to go get a full-time job and something that would pay the bills shortly after my kidney transplant. But in my part-time, I looked for ways to bring music and put music on and bring music together. And I worked at little dirt track race tracks across the United States and to little county fairs, and worked really hard. And ultimately, I started just picking up more and more, and I tried to take really good care of our customers. And that leads to new customers. And we just kind of kept growing. And after 5 or 6 years of doing this, I was finally making more in my 2 weeks worth of vacation every year with my part-time job than I was with my full-time job. So in 2010, we set out to start a new company. And I founded the company officially December 17, 2010. So we're almost to reach our 10th birthday. And it really kind of took off and it started to get its own legs as we grew and our customer base expanded. The questions our customers would ask us to handle or the things our customers would bring to us really started to expand, which then just started creating this conglomerate of businesses. And so now today, I'm chairman of Encore Holdings, and Encore Holdings has a handful of entertainment companies underneath it that range from everything from film and video work to concerts, conventions, trade shows, private parties. And we have a business, the one that everybody knows the most is Encore Live. And that one, we put on the concerts. We put on the things that everybody hears about. And so a lot of our work is from behind the scenes, but the projects are very public-facing. This Garth Brooks show that just happened is a good example of that. And so, we got some crazy stories of 5, 10, 15, $20 million birthday parties, $30 million anniversary parties. We do some really kind of crazy things all around the world for some of the world's most wealthy individuals. And there's certainly some stories to tell, that's for sure.
And I've heard a few of these through some of our mutual friends. It's certainly an interesting life when you've got, 10 or 20 million to spend on your birthday party.
That's right. I'm suspecting
those folks weren't folks you knew when you were growing up down in Edna, Kansas.
I always say that luck is a direct reflection of how hard you're willing to work. But I've been a pretty lucky guy, and I've met, we've worked really hard to build our network of clients, but I've been introduced to some really interesting folks. And as you start to work with these folks and you create things that otherwise were considered to be impossible, and they've got friends in attendance, and sometimes their friends want to be able to figure out how to do impossible things as well. And so our network just kind of grew from there. But we now work behind the scenes and confidentially with some of the world's absolute wealthiest individuals that run the biggest organizations around the globe. And then every once in a while we get to do some really fun public facing things like this car show.
I'm going to go through kind of a series of quick questions for you here so we hit some different ground. Quickly, you did a lot of inauguration type of parties in 2016, right?
That's right. I got to Donald Trump Jr. called me on the 1st of December 2016, and we quickly went to New York and then ultimately Washington, D.C. I was the executive producer of Trump's swearing-in ceremony, co-producer of 9 of the 14 inaugural balls.
Talk about the entertainers you book for just a moment. I mean, you mentioned Garth, but and these questions are always hard to answer, but who are some of your favorites? You've gotten to know these folks over time. Are there some that you say, not only are they really talented, but I really like them. They're just a good person.
Yeah, I mean, Garth is number one for me, but as a child, he was easily my favorite entertainer. I've had a lot of fun working with the guys from ZZ Top, George Strait, Bon Jovi. We've been very fortunate. We've got to work with so many really big ones. Blake Shelton, Gwen Stefani, Metallica, Taylor Swift. Over the years, I've been very fortunate to get to work with so many great entertainers. And we have very strict rules about we only work with good people. And so if someone's got a reputation as being difficult to work with or being impossible to work with, we just don't even try. There's plenty of great people out there, and life's too short to work with folks that are going to make you miserable. And so any of our clients that we work with, they're just good people. And they want to do a good job and create these meaningful memories. And everything we do every day, we set out to create that moment in time where you will always remember where you were when. And that is really kind of a guiding principle for us to just it challenges us to think through every little detail, not only of the entertainer's experience or, in Trump's case, the politician's experience, but it also, what is that individual attendee's experience? What is that, what is that individual human being's experience? That are they having a good time? Do we make it easy? Do we make it enjoyable for them? We work really hard to do that, whether it's a major entertainer or the transition of power from President Barack Obama to now President Donald Trump.
So let's talk about where you're talking to me from right now, because Encore Live does stuff all around the world, but Walter's headquarters right now is where?
I'm on a farm in the middle of South Dakota. We've been here since early March, and I've been running the company from my car on top of a hill, 18 to 20 hours a day. And I am 13 miles west of Fort Pierce, South Dakota, on a farm called Willow Creek. My wife's family owns this. They've got a conservation division, Willow Creek Wildlife. They've got a farming operation. They've got a cattle operation. And so I'm presently parked in a cow pasture with a couple hundred head of cattle and talking on the phone with my good friend, Andrew McRae.
So, and people need to know, this isn't like just happened today. As you mentioned, this has been headquarters for Walter for quite a while, every day.
Yeah, we've been here. COVID really just started to disrupt our business towards the end of February, several weeks ahead of, you know, when everybody else was realizing it was in a pretty bad spot. So I brought the family up here. We first heard about it, we went to a farm right outside of Fort Worth where we call home. And we stayed there for about a week, and then we realized just how bad this was going to be. And so we left from that ranch and we headed north to South Dakota. And other than one quick trip back to Texas, we've been up here since the beginning of March, and my two daughters are having a great time. I've got a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old. I tell you, I've never been more connected to my family. I've never been able to spend more time with my family. It's been just an enjoyable opportunity for us. And we're figuring out as an organization that we don't all have to be sitting in the same office to be highly productive. I mean, you look at what we've accomplished on this run of theater shows with Garth Brooks. You look at so many other ways that our company has transformed from a public-facing deal. We switched to our physical conventions into doing virtual conventions. We were very proud to help Kansas FFA make sure that their convention could go on even in the middle of the pandemic. And we really enjoyed producing that convention. And we've done it all from a farm, or at least from my seat. My operation has all been from a farm in South Dakota, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, Walter, you know, at some point we're going to get this virus conquered. And at that point, do you think you'll stay on top of a hill in South Dakota? Has this changed the way you're going to do business going forward?
It's absolutely changed the way we're going to do business. And we've also uncovered some opportunities within the event space that we think survive in a pre-COVID world, a COVID world, or a post-COVID world. And so we're really, we're being very thoughtful about that. Will we return to a traditional office? I don't think so. I think we have learned so much about how to operate in a decentralized location. We now have over 2,800 employees working for us across the United States and Canada. And we don't have that one central location that we all come to anymore. And so it's really frankly allowed us to scale very quickly. And we're not seeing the big gaps or lapses in communication that we initially thought we would have. And when we need to be together, we're together. But we're also, we're taking this moment and saying, can the leaders of our organization, can the members of our family have a better quality of life raising their kids and being at home more while still being highly effective? And that has certainly been the case. And so I will we stay in South Dakota? I think there's a darn good chance we will. Frankly, we bought an RV, and it's our plan to set out here next week, and we're my oldest daughter's supposed to be in kindergarten this year. We're going to homeschool her, but we're going to do it from an RV. And we've got a goal to hit 48 state capitals and every national park over the next year. This pandemic has proven that I can do my work from just about anywhere. And so quite literally, we have packed up an RV and we'll be heading out here next week and touring the country in that.
So I know that area somewhat well. I mean, we've bought cattle out of Fort Pierre over the years many times. I'm amazed if you're so many miles west of Fort Pierre, how are you getting enough signal to be able to do business for a multinational type of company?
That is a great point. So I bought a cell phone booster. I found one off of Amazon, and I bought a cell phone booster and put it on top of the car. I'd heard mixed reviews about them, and I can tell you my experience has been, as I drive around South Dakota or Nebraska these last couple months for various reasons, it doesn't work everywhere, but I really kind of hit the cell jackpot. And it works really well where I'm at. But that was not the case when I first got here. I was driving a frustrating amount of miles every day on conference calls, just searching for that really strong cell signal somewhere. And so very grateful now that this booster's helping, and it's allowed me to I drive about 3 miles from the farmhouse, get on top of a hill. My family has affectionately named the hill Walter Hill, and I sit up on this hill many hours every day conducting business from the car, and then go for walks, and then ultimately go home for lunchtime and dinner and spend time with my girls.
So you're physically in the car? I mean, is the car like running so you have air these days when it's hot out there?
Right now, yes, I'm physically sitting in my car. And got the AC cranking, and the view is beautiful, and that's the wonderful thing about it. Where if you've spent some time out here, you know how pretty this region of the country is. And so I literally turn the direction the car's facing based on where the sun's at, and my landscape and view changes all day, every day. It's the new corner office that everybody seeks to have with the view. I've got the best view in the world, and that's beautiful farmland all day long, and my beautiful family every morning, afternoon, and evening.
Knowing you, it is you, and I think it's great. But I've got to ask. So, you know, if you're on the phone with Garth or some other big entertainer, you say, "Well, yeah, I'm up here on the ranch again." You know, how's the conversation go when you're sitting in a car on, you know, top of a hill in the middle of a ranch in South Dakota?
Well, you know, if you think about it from the folks that we work with, Garth, he doesn't do his craft at home. He does his craft on the road with his fans. And so he has adapted really well to working wherever he's at. And my job primed me for the same thing. You know, the amount of time I logged 100 legs of flights from January 1 to March 7th when COVID hit. And so I am incredibly used to my office being a hotel room in New York City one day, and the next day it's on the shoreline in Los Angeles, or it's from a convention center in Denver. And so I have been for the last 10 years preparing myself for this remote working style, and that's the nature of Garth too. And so hell, half the time I don't even know where he's at. He doesn't know where I'm at when we've been scheming on our plans for the run of shows we just did. And so it's pretty interesting. Every once in a while, we'll just stop and say, "Where in the world are you today?" And, you know, he's in Tennessee, or he's in Florida, and I'm in South Dakota, or here in a little bit, I'm going to get on a flight and I'm going to go to Los Angeles for the day. And so that's the way we've been living and the way that we operate our businesses anyway. My craft and the work that I do doesn't manifest itself inside of an office somewhere. And so that has uniquely prepared me for this working environment. Now, you know, we've been here since the beginning of March. Like I said, we had one short stint into Texas. I'm going to take this short stint into Los Angeles. It's the first business trip that I've taken since March 7th. I'll be gone a day, and it is crazy. Like I said, I logged 100 legs of flights from January 1st to March 7th. I didn't know my girls. like literally. And now I'm about to go and I'm just going to be gone for one night. And it is emotionally wrecking me because I haven't gone without being next to my girls for the last 90 days or longer. And so I feel very blessed for the time that I've been given here. I have a real relationship with my one-year-old, but I was that dad that was just constantly living out of a suitcase, and I didn't realize how bad it had got. And I said from the very beginning that we all need to be seeking to understand what God's message is in all of this, and we better listen. We better listen up, because he's got a point in what he's doing here. And it certainly has smacked me across the face that I have got to situate myself in a way that will allow me to spend quality time with my girls every day and be an absolute influence and active participant in their life. And the relationship I have with my wife and daughters has never been stronger. And I'm just so blessed for this unbelievable time that we've had. And fortunately, you know, it's been heartbreaking to see between COVID and the racial situation that's been going on in America. It has been so heartbreaking to see kind of the death and destruction that so many people have been going through. And, but it's given me great pause and great peace that we're out on the farm, living the simple life, even though we're creating opportunities, around the world, even still, it has just been an unbelievable blessing to me. And like I said, this will change the way we operate forever. And when this 1 year long bus trip is over around the country, I think there's a great possibility that I will continue to run this from the farm, and perhaps our days in the big city are coming to an end.
Well, I don't travel to the extent you do, but I travel quite a bit, and I can tell you the same thing, that it has changed the way that I do business, and I realize now I can do much more from the farm. I mean, I'm visiting from our farm, so I'm looking across the pasture here at the cattle, a similar situation to you, and you know, my son's out here. We just had lunch. My wife and daughter are at, they went to ice skate because she's a skater, and they can do that. They can social distance and only have like five of them on the rink at a time. But still, it has changed the way we look at things, and I'm hoping for the better, and I'm hoping that it means more home time, because you realize we always knew family was important. But I think now we realize family is really important, and spending time with them is probably a pretty darn good thing.
That's right. That's right. So it's been wonderful, and I don't ever want it to change.
Yeah, yeah. So, Walter, as we wind up here, I don't know if you knew this, but I checked back into our message history, and I don't know if you remember that 12 years ago, because you were doing some communications work, you know, and radio and stuff, I asked you if you wanted to work for me at American Countryside and what's now also Farming the Countryside, and I just wonder, you know, having worked with Garth Brooks and all these different entertainers, you're probably still kicking yourself you didn't come work with me instead of starting this huge
That's
company.
Right. Well, how I passed up on that opportunity, I have no idea. I won't make that mistake twice, so be careful if you've got a job opportunity coming my way. I'm not going to make that mistake twice. So, but no, I have so enjoyed just watching your family grow. And Andrew, we have now been friends. This fall will be 20 years that we have been friends. And that is just crazy to think about that time in Louisville, Kentucky, and how much your life and my life has changed. But I admire your steadfast and your pursuit to continue to elevate and advance the world of agriculture and farming. And what you and your team are doing is absolutely remarkable. And it's a very humbling experience for me to be a guest on your show, as throughout the years I've watched in awe of what you've been doing. And this truly just, it means the world to me that you've invited me to be a part of this. And it may have taken 12 years, but I'm finally on your airwaves, and it feels darn good to be doing so.
Well, we can get you back sooner than 12 years. So next time we'll have a three-way call with you, Garth, and I, you know, so we'll go for that next time. But
I think he told me he's busy that day, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. So,
well, very good. That's well, awesome. Hey, Walter, this has been great to have this conversation. I hope that folks listening to this will realize, hey, that Encore Live, I know that guy. And if they're traveling west from Fort Pierre and they see a car or a van or an RV, whatever it is that day, on top of a hill, they'll recognize, hey, that's a guy that is in charge of a pretty big company up there on top of that hill doing his work.
That's right. That's right. Well, I appreciate it. And I think you got to remember, and I would love if there was a message for your younger audience out there. I grew up in Edna, Kansas, and I left with a suitcase and a dream. And I'm working my way back to the farm now, but it has been, it is amazing the possibilities that are out there, and you just got to believe. And I left with no money in my bank account, no real connections in the real world. And so it can happen. It can happen to anybody. And remember, it's possible to get lucky, and the harder you work, the better chance you've got to get lucky. So just keep going, keep trying, and it's all going to work out, I promise you.
Walter, I really appreciate it. I know your time is valuable, but I do enjoy the chance to visit. I hope we get to in person sometime, but it's always fun to catch up with you.
I look forward to it, Andrew. I appreciate your time today.
As you can tell, Walter is an interesting guy, and while I would have enjoyed having him work on our broadcasts, I'm glad he's touching lives by working with some of the world's biggest names in entertainment. And even if you don't have a few million dollars to drop on a party, Walter is the kind of guy that would be willing to visit with you and share his thoughts. He's never lost touch with his roots as he manages his business and raises his family. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com.